Hey Sandra, wir haben uns ja lange nicht mehr gesehen.
Grüß dich, Nadine. Mensch, du siehst ja toll aus.
Ja, danke. Ich habe mein plus-ris gesündere Ich entdeckt.
Was?
Komm, ich zeig's dir.
Die Bewegungskurse der AOK Plus. Kostenfrei für AOK Plus Versicherte. Entdecke dein Plus fürs gesündere Ich und starte mit unserem Self-Check. Ganz einfach online auf aok.de. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit. AOK Plus.
There are a lot of true crime podcasts out there, and I have 30 seconds to convince you why you should check out Crime Lines. Crime Lines is one of those shows that just lays it all out there, the backstory, the legal context, and details of cases you haven't heard before. If you hear about a true crime case and want to know what happened and why, you're my kind of listener. You can check out Crime Lines wherever you get your podcasts. That's Crime Lines, one word, and get ready to dive deep.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Stockton Rush? First, I'll look at the background of Stockton Rush, which includes the Titan disaster, then move to my analysis. Richard Stockton Rush III was born on March 31, 1962, in San Francisco, California. He went by his middle name, Stockton. His family was exceedingly wealthy. His father was the chairman of an oil and gas company and a company that managed investment properties in Sacramento. His family had inherited substantial wealth from a relative who had a leadership role at Standard Oil. Stockton was a descendant of two men who signed the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Rush and Richard Stockton. When Stockton was young, he met an astronaut and developed a dream of becoming an astronaut himself. He wanted to be the first person on Mars. At age 19, he became a jet transport rated pilot, qualifying with the United Airlines Jet Training Institute. He hoped this would bring him a step closer to his dream. In 1984, Stockton graduated with a bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering, which also should have helped him in his journey to reach space. After finding out that his vision wasn't good enough to become a military pilot, he moved to Seattle and worked for the McDonnell Douglas Corporation as a flight test engineer for F-15 Eagle jet fighters. Stockton married a woman named Wendy Hollings Wheel in 1986. Wendy is the great-great-granddaughter of Isidore and Ida Strauss. They were first-class passengers on Titanic, who died in 1912 when the vessel sank in the North Atlantic. Both of them famously sacrificed their places on a lifeboat so that others could survive. They were two of the wealthiest people to die on Titanic. In 1989, Stockton Rush earned an MBA. He managed to become a millionaire by investing his inheritance into technology companies. Eventually, he had a net worth of $12 million. Stockton not only had an interest in going to space, but a desire to explore in general. Eventually, he came to believe that traveling to Mars was cost prohibitive and changed his focus to undersea exploration. After investigating the requirements to become a diver and contemplating the unpleasant experiences of being in cold water, Stockton decided that being in a submarine would be easier and more comfortable. He could not find any submarines for sale, so he decided to build his own. Stockton believed there was a lot of demand for underwater ocean tourism. In 2009, Stockton, along with a business partner, established a company called OceanGate. This company built their own submersibles and catered to this extreme tourism market. Considering what happened later in the story, the name OceanGate is kind of ironic. It's as if Stockton knew the company was destined to be involved in a scandal. I imagine him saying something like, let's just put the word gate at the end and save people the work of doing it later on. After working on two different submersibles, OceanGate constructed one called Titan. This 22-foot-long vessel weighed 23,000 pounds and was designed to reach a depth of 13,000 feet. It could hold a crew of five. The idea was to transport passengers in Titan to various underwater areas of interest, like the wreckage of Titanic. The plan was to start making expeditions to Titanic in 2018, but various problems delayed operations until 2021. Titan made 6 dives to Titanic in that year and 7 in 2022. The first tickets for Titan were supposed to be priced at about $105,000. They went up to $125,000 before the first dive. And in 2022, the price ballooned to $250,000. Dives were planned again for 2023. After several delays, the first dive for the year took place on June 18. As it turns out, it would also be the last dive for Titan. Stockton Rush was the pilot of Titan on this dive. 4 passengers were on board as well. All of the passengers were wealthy. On this trip, the support ship for Titan was the research icebreaker Polar Prince, which monitored and supported the submersible. The dive started at 9 a.m. The last communication Titan had with Polar Prince was at 11:47 a.m. Several hours later, a search and rescue effort was initiated. On June 22, 2023, the U.S. Coast Guard found a debris field about 1,600 feet from the bow of Titanic using a remotely operated vehicle. The Coast Guard confirmed that the components were from Titan and that a catastrophic implosion killed all 5 members of the crew instantly. Stockton Rush was 61 years old. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts in a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number 1, Stockton Rush's legacy is in an interesting position. His death would, of course, create sympathy, but his potential recklessness has attracted anger and condemnation. Some people believe that his irresponsible behavior caused the Titan tragedy. Another unusual angle in the story is how Stockton was a victim of the tragedy himself. It's not like he was sitting in some office ordering other people to their deaths. He shared the same fate as the other victims. Stockton must have believed that the submersible was at least somewhat safe. Item number 2. Over the years, Stockton has made several unusual statements and decisions, which are particularly curious considering what happened. Here are a few examples. Stockton once said, quote, "At some point, safety is just pure waste. I mean, if you want just to be safe, don't get out of bed. Don't get in your car. Don't do anything," unquote. He admitted to breaking rules when he stated, quote, "I think it was General MacArthur who said, 'You're remembered for the rules you break, and I've broken some rules to make this. I think I've broken them with logic and good engineering behind me,'" unquote. Stockton believed that government regulations needlessly prioritized passenger safety over commercial innovation. He didn't think operating a submarine or submersible was actually as dangerous as people said. He accused the sub industry of being obscenely safe because of all the regulations. One has to wonder if Stockton ever listened to the statements he was making. Some of the components of Titan did not seem to be consistent with industry standards. For example, Stockton used a modified Logitech wireless gaming controller to pilot the sub, and the vessel contained LEDs purchased from an RV retailer. Stockton tried to rationalize his dangerous exploration travel missions by saying the future of mankind was underwater, not on Mars. He said, quote, "If we trash this planet, the best lifeboat for mankind is underwater," unquote. Stockton had supreme confidence in the safety of Titan. He had a patent on a real-time acoustic monitoring system that was used on the submersible. He claimed that it could detect the onset of buckling in the carbon fiber hull prior to a catastrophic failure. One critic of Stockton's invention said that it would only provide a few milliseconds of warning. Perhaps Stockton believed that he had inhumanly fast reflexes.
This is Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. I'm Steve Taylor, your host to a horror anthology podcast with carefully curated original tales of terror each week. Our deepest rooted fears are brought to the forefront by a diverse cast of voice talent and masterfully eerie sound design. Make sure to check out Chilling Tales for Dark Nights wherever you get your podcasts. To subscribe now to always be the first to enjoy the horror show.
In January of 2008, real estate agent Lindsay Buziak received a call from a woman who said that she and her husband were urgently seeking a home with a budget of $1 million. Eager for the commission a deal like this would bring, Lindsay found the perfect home and set up a showing. Just 1 hour after the showing, Buziak's colleagues found her lying in a pool of blood in the master bedroom with multiple stab wounds. To this day, the case remains unsolved. I'm Savannah Breimer, host of the true crime podcast Killer Instinct, the research-backed show that covers cases like Lindsay's and aims to bring justice to the families of victims of horrific crimes. Each month, I explore a new sector of true crime, from serial killers to stalkers to female killers. For each case, I break down the moments leading up to the crime, debunk past theories, and share the experiences of those affected by these tragedies. Join me every Wednesday as I unveil the truth behind some of the darkest cases in history. Listen and subscribe to Killer Instinct wherever you get your podcasts.
Item number 3. What is a potential personality profile for Stockton Rush? This is just a theory, my opinion. When I conceptualize personality, I use the 5-factor model. I remember the 5 factors using the acronym OCEAN: openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. It would appear as though Stockton had high openness to experience. He was intellectually curious, had a lot of ideas, and tended to think abstractly. Despite his impulsivity, Stockton was probably high in conscientiousness overall. He had extremely high extroversion. He was assertive, sensation-seeking, and had positive emotions. Stockton was probably mid-range to low on agreeableness. He appeared to have a distrust of the sub-industry and their safety regulations, and he had mid-range neuroticism. He was calm under pressure, but had difficulty resisting temptation. Stockton appeared to have a few narcissistic characteristics, like grandiosity, arrogance, and a sense of entitlement. When talking about the potential of going to space, he said, quote, "I had this epiphany that this was not at all what I wanted to do. I didn't want to go up into space as a tourist. I wanted to be Captain Kirk on the Enterprise. I wanted to explore," unquote. Many of Stockton's statements about safety appear to indicate a lack of insight and convey the sense that he believed he was special. Item number 4, Stockton was a leader in the extreme tourism business. Not only did he make money in this endeavor, he was a participant. He clearly desired to have extreme high-risk adventures. Among the wealthy, this appears to be a common sentiment. Several companies are offering trips to suborbital and orbital space for price tags ranging from hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars. Some wealthy people have climbed Mount Everest. For $100,000, a person can visit the South Pole. And with OceanGate, at least until the Titan disaster, $250,000 would buy a front row seat to Titanic. What drives wealthy people toward extreme tourism? I think it really comes down to how people find and fulfill purpose in life. Some people are quite content engaging in safe activities, like spending time with family, going to the movies, working, and reading. But for others, life needs to contain a series of adventures in order to be interesting. These people tend to accomplish one challenging goal only to move on to another. The purpose isn't found by achieving the goal. The purpose is the never-ending pattern of adventure. It's always having another goal in the crosshairs. When they complete one, they're looking toward another. When people become wealthy, they may not be satisfied by simply earning more money. There's a point where a person has so much money, they can essentially have anything that they want. There is no longer a chance of losing the game. There is no more risk of getting harmed. It's like playing a video game with an invincibility cheat code. It may be novel at first, but it quickly gets boring. A large quantity of money permits a person to seek an even greater source of stimulation. Just like using drugs, they have developed a tolerance for everything that can give them a rush, so they need a stronger drug. Going to space, climbing Mount Everest, or traveling to Titanic can represent that drug. These wealthy adventurers rationalize the trips by claiming they promote science or technology, but in reality, they're just looking for the next high. Being an extreme tourist can lead to the same place as being dependent on drugs. Sometimes there is a fatal outcome. I'm moving to my final thoughts. Stockton Rush wanted to have an audience as he journeyed to Titanic. His story is filled with parallels to the doomed ocean liner. For example, his wife was related to passengers who died on the ship. He named his submersible Titan. The owners of Titanic thought it was unsinkable. Stockton thought that Titan was unsinkable. The first tickets for Titan were priced to be the same as a ticket for the Vanderbilt suite on Titanic in 1912, adjusted for inflation. As it turns out, Titan eventually delivered the exact same non-survivable experience. And the sinking of Titanic was partially blamed on the arrogance of the captain. One could argue that the pilot of Titan possessed that same trait. Despite the tragedy of Titan, the world needs people like Stockton Rush, but it also needs a realistic view of their motives and limitations.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.